Hi, it's great to have your company. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. My name's Simon Smart. Well, the relationship between science and faith these days is understood to be a contested one. There are lots of people who say you either have to put your trust in the scientists to deliver us to the place we want to go, or perhaps go down a spiritual or religious path. Very often people believe that Christianity has at best an uneasy relationship with the sciences. But my guest today confounds that kind of thinking. He has a PhD in physics and a great love of science, and also a PhD in theology. His latest book is called Science, Religion and the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Sounds interesting, we might get to that at some point. The Reverend Professor David Wilkinson teaches in the Department of Theology and Religion at Durham University in the UK. He's very interested in this question of the relationship between science and faith, and indeed the relevance of faith in a technological scientific age. Welcome, David. Great to have you in.
Thank you, Simon. Nice to be here.
Now, you're an astrophysicist. You've done a lot of work in star formation and the evolution of galaxies and so on. You're also a Christian. Has your work in that particular area of science been something that's challenged your faith or perhaps strengthened it?
It's done both. I think there are still questions that I don't understand about the relationship between science and faith. But there were a number of things as an astrophysicist which struck me, which led to deeper questions. So, for example, we know just how vast the universe is. It's 100 billion stars in each of 100 billion galaxies. And the question about what is the significance of human beings in such a vast universe is really important. And then there's the beauty and the intelligibility of the laws of physics, which as a physicist you encounter. Now, most of science, it has to be said, is tedious, boring, frustrating, it's tough. But there are moments, wow moments, when you see underneath the complexity of the universe certain simple and elegant laws. Einstein once said, the most incomprehensible thing about the universe is that it's comprehensible. And physics, at the very fundamental level, is fascinated by the existence and the intelligibility of the physical laws. And then thirdly was this sense of awe. A lot of science is very mundane, it's hard work, but there are those moments where you just get a sense of awe at the vastness of the universe and the way that it all works together and the way that the universe just seems to be just right in the Goldilocks sense to provide life, mind, and human beings.
It's true that that awe, that feeling of the absolute wonder at all of this, the size of it, the intricacy of it, the way it works together, in some people will produce belief. In others, it seems to have nothing like that effect. What do you put that down to?
I think the universe gives us certain things that we can interpret, and there are various interpretations. Darwin and indeed Richard Dawkins expressed wonder at the beauty of science. For me, simply to express that wonder at science, which I share, is not enough, because it seems to me that there's a deeper level to the universe and a deeper level to wonder, which for me as a Christian works out supremely in worship. It leads on to worship not of nature, but of the God who created it all. Now, of course, I have to interpret that within a framework. You can either interpret it as an atheist and simply wonder at the science. But my encounter with Jesus of Nazareth has led me to the belief that I can't understand or explain Jesus in any other way, that this was the Creator God walking the pages of history. And then that gives me the framework for belief in God and the sense that wonder leads to worship.
I want to come back to this encounter you say you've had, but let's just step back and look at, for instance, just the vastness of the universe and your work in this area. In what sense does that sort of knowledge push you in the direction of a belief in a God?
I think the phrase push is very good. It's a pointer for me rather than a proof. I don't agree that you can look at the universe and prove God. For example, I worked on the Big Bang, and some people say, well, if the universe began with a Big Bang, who lit the blue touch paper? Who set the whole thing off? That must be God. I don't think that's a very good argument. We know that there's problems with the logic, and philosophers over the centuries have pointed out there's problems with the logic. But it suffers from what's called the God of the gaps argument. It says if science can't explain something, beware about putting God in as the explanation into that gap. Because as science progressively explains more and more of its own territory, so God is pushed out of the gap to become irrelevant. Now, therefore, when I look at the Big Bang model leading to the vastness of the universe, I don't want to locate God in that very small gap of the very beginning. He's bigger than that. I see him in the whole process, not just at 10 to the minus 43 of a second, which is the fraction of the second where our laws of physics currently break down, but I see God at every moment sustaining the universe. And that's a very different view of the Creator God to the way that lots of people have. We think of Creator as the one who starts it off and then goes for a cup of tea, not to have anything more to do with the universe. That, for me, is not the Christian Creator. The Christian Creator is the one who sustains the laws of physics moment by moment. And therefore, I find pointers in the universe rather than proofs.
Now, there's a sense that many have that science is about sure things, and faith is about things you just can't really know about at all. But there's a sense in which the more we know about science, you might think of quantum physics, for instance, the more mysterious it is, isn't it?
It is. And one of the things that we've got to be careful of is what we mean by that. Lots of people talk about science as giving proof. Well, actually, in cosmology, you don't have proof. In big science, we never use the word proof. What you've got is a deal of evidence and then your best model to interpret that evidence, rather like a detective. When Miss Marple comes on the scene of the crime, she hasn't seen the crime happen. What she does is look at various clues or pieces of evidence to reconstruct the best interpretation of what happened. We're the same as cosmologists. We do the same. And what's really important about science is that it's a human activity. Although computers might beat us at chess, they can't do science, because science involves acts of judgment, an intuition, a sense of weighing the evidence. And so in that way, when you talk about evidence and personal judgment and lack of proof, when it comes to religious faith and particularly Christian faith for me, I'm a Christian because there's evidence. I'm a Christian because I've made a personal judgment. I'm not a Christian because I can prove God. God's not a mathematical equation that I want to prove. He's much more exciting than that.
It's certainly the case that there are lots of things that are important to us, forgetting the religious question, that we can't prove, but nonetheless we put our trust in, right? Relationships,
that's right.
And love, those
sorts
of things.
I mean, a lot of people say to me as a scientist, can you prove love? I mean, how would I prove that my wife loves me? Well, I might look for evidence. Does she buy me a Valentine's card? That would tell me something. Does she scream and run out of the room every time she sees me? That would give me a different kind of evidence. But the only way that I know that she loves me, if on the basis of a certain amount of evidence, I trust myself into a relationship, at that point I know that she loves me. And that's a very different way to knowing things in science.
Also, to continue the analogy, if she reveals the fact that she does love you, and you know, Christians will want to
that's
speak
right.
about a God revealing truth to them.
And that's fundamental to Christian faith. A number of years ago, someone wrote a book, and when they tried to disprove God, it went something like this. They said, the universe is infinite. Any God who created it must be even bigger. Our minds are finite. How can a finite mind ever understand an infinite God? And they said, well, there's no point talking about an infinite God. But, says the Christian, what if the infinite God decided to reveal himself to the finite mind in a way that the finite mind could understand? Now, that for me is the core belief in Christian faith. That is that God has spoken of himself in many and various ways, but supremely in Jesus.
This is a very technological age. People are walking around with their iPhones and on this sort of, you know, so used to this sort of technology. But what about transcendence? Do you think people are looking for something beyond the strictly material, physical aspects of life to provide them with meaning? And where do you see that manifest itself?
I think it's manifested in lots of ways. I think there's a backlash against science today, particularly the kind of atheistic materialist view of the world. And there's many people who simply say we want more than that. And then I think we also see it in movies. I've been a great fan of the Star Wars movies over a number of years. And George Lucas's inclusion of the Force into the Star Wars movies is an attempt to say, is there more to this universe than just science and technology? What about the concept of transcendence? And Lucas himself said, I put the Force into the Star Wars movies to get people to think about mystery. So I think in lots of ways it's there, but it's also there in science. I have a number of friends in cosmology who would not describe themselves as religious in any way, but would not be atheists. They're agnostics, or they believe that maybe there's a deeper story to the universe. So someone, for instance, a distinguished cosmologist such as Paul Davis, talks about how science raises the bigger questions, the theological questions. Now, he doesn't have to say that those are answered by Christian faith, but I think it's significant that we've got a number of people who say the questions are there.
Well, you talk about pop culture and films and television and so on. What do you think pop culture is telling us in terms of these deep questions people are asking?
I think pop culture doesn't give us philosophy to live by. That's the mistake of those people who say, you know, my religion is Jedi, of which in the recent census, would you believe 380,000 in the UK claim to be Jedi. I think pop culture poses the questions. It takes what it means to be human. It takes our place in the universe. And it tells stories. And it explores possibilities. And whether it's in The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, whether it's in science fiction movies, whether it's in those human stories about what it means to be valued, what it means to be loved, pop culture doesn't give us new religions, but it does give us the questions, the fundamental big questions, which have always interested us as human beings.
David, to what extent has doubt played a role in your journey of faith?
I think doubt's complementary to faith in the sense that I think Christian faith and science is always open to questions. My favorite disciple in the New Testament is Thomas, not doubting Thomas, but questioning Thomas. He's the one who asks the question that everyone else doesn't want to ask. And actually, that's part of the way that for him, Jesus becomes more real, discovers more about Jesus. And my own experience has been that as I've asked the question, I might not get easy answers. But it's always led to a deeper passion for science and a deeper passion for Christian faith.
You spoke earlier about an encounter with Jesus Christ and that being the thing that keeps you as a believer. Is that right? And how would you describe that encounter? It might sound a bit strange, a scientist talking in those terms.
Sometimes scientists will find it strange and they'll say, well, you know, isn't this just about taking your brain out and throwing it away and having faith in that old schoolboy definition of faith, that faith is believing those things you know aren't true? For me, I became a Christian at the age of 17, not because of science. I fell desperately in love with a girl in the local Christian youth group, so went along to that church.
That can have an influence.
Right. Absolutely. Bob Dylan, who I was interested in a really big way, went through a Christian phase, and I suddenly heard about Jesus in a culture that was mine, and I read the New Testament. I'd never done that before. As I read the New Testament, I was fascinated by this historical figure of Jesus. And on the basis of that evidence, came to a point where I said, this must be God, and trust my life into him. But the thing about Christian faith for me is not just it's a historical encounter, but it's a present-day encounter. I find that difficult to describe in scientific terms. After all, I'm talking about a transcendent reality. But the reality of forgiveness, of a sense of help, a sense of strength, a sense of hope in the future, which varies from day to day, which varies of whether I'm in worship or not. A whole number of things are very complicated about this. But I have to say, it's real for me. And the same encounter seems to be shared by billions of people worldwide, an extraordinary thing. So whether I'm in Australia or Africa or South America or North America or the UK, there's a commonality of encounter which assures me that there's some reality there.
Well, Professor David Wilkinson, so good to get your thoughts on all of this. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Simon.